Before I get started, I want to say that we are absolutely thrilled to have Mary Miller join us at OSHA after all her experience in the state of Washington and her vast expertise in young workers. And I think I am predicting that she will revitalize all OSHA's young worker efforts. We have a strong influence. We have always been interested in young workers and have had a lot of outreach activities related. We actually had a formal young worker initiative running from 2003 to 2008 in which we scheduled a lot of different young worker events. This continues on in more in the sense of our focus on vulnerable work populations, so young workers we consider to be that. We have a designated young worker webpage that we have been updating, and I'm sure Mary will be making it just wonderful. And our office started a group called the Federal Network for Young Worker Safety and Health, which meets quarterly, and it's a lot of different agencies. This is in Washington, a lot of different agencies that have little bits and pieces of young worker, EPA and agriculture and education and Forest Service. It's a really interesting group. That's been going on for 4 or 5 years. So that's another thing we do. And another thing I want to mention is a close relationship with Wage and Hour. Ernie Weiss is here, and he will follow my presentation with his. We've done joint presentations before, and you'll see some parallels between the. We're both presenting a fatality case. You'll see parallels between them, and both involve both OSHA and Wage and Hour violations. So we will get started here. Oh. What happened to my, I have a disclosure slide too, but who knows where it is. Maybe it's floating around somewhere. Maybe it's, I have no relationships to disclose. So I'm going to talk about a case, one particular case. Let us go on. There it is. And this earlier, Jim mentioned the FACE reports. This, both my case and Ernie's case, are part of our FACE, have FACE reports on them, and that they are wonderful. I have to mention, give NIOSH a lot of credit for doing those. They're great, great, really written up very well, very informative. So this case I'm going to talk about is a forklift case, and one of the things that I'll say right away is that young workers are not supposed to be riding around on forklifts, and so that was a major problem with that, and Wage and Hour and OSHA were both involved. So this happened in 2003. It was a 16-year-old male. It was a warehouse. He was a summer hire, so he was supposed to be just sort of like a stock boy. He obviously was not supposed to be on this forklift, but he was, and he was operating it, and it overturned on him and crushed him. So let's see, I'm going to give you more details of the case, but there is a little picture of the forklift. This is the kind of forklift that was used in this case. And actually, there was maybe 4 or 5 years ago, there were several young worker forklift fatalities, which resulted in OSHA and NIOSH together issuing a forklift packet of outreach materials. And OSHA has alliances with various organizations and groups, and we actually have an alliance with the Industrial Truck Association. Forklifts fall under them, and they also assisted us with this packet that we sent out. So we have been concerned about forklifts all along. This is a diagram of the kind of forklift, and you can see its different parts, which are labeled there, and then obviously the forks and the position of the fork is most important. It does have an overhead protection, but that didn't help this young man in this case. So this is how it happened. Whoops.
Is that where you are?
I think that's where I am. Yes. This is a photograph of the incident location. The situation was this. This warehousing organization had several different locations, and it had recently bought this particular location, and with the location it had bought the forklift. This was the only forklift on the premises. And the adult employees used this forklift to move things around. The youth was, as I said, a sort of a stock boy. So the way this happened was, the other thing was that the employer had the habit of leaving the keys in the ignition. And when they got in to investigate this case, the employer actually said, this was a requirement of the fire department in case there was a fire and they would have to move the equipment. Well, when they questioned the fire department, they said, no, this was not true. So that was this. They left, the keys were in the ignition. This was getting towards the end of the shift, and this young man apparently decided he wanted to drive the forklift around. So he got in, and he turned on the ignition, and he raised up, he apparently had an empty pallet that he was just kind of playing with, but he raised the forks way up to like a 45 degree angle, and then he came down this ramp. You can see that the direction of the arrow, there's a ramp there, and the ramp had a curve in it, and it didn't have a guard wall. It had a wall part of the way, but then it had an opening without a wall. So he came down there, and with the forks up, it was a tippy situation anyway. The balance was off, and it tipped over. He did not have a seatbelt on, so it tipped sideways, and he fell, and it fell right on top of him. The coworkers came immediately and pulled him out, and tried to help him, and they called 911, but he was dead on arrival at the hospital. So a very sad thing. And the other thing about the forklift was that when the employers had bought this, when the investigation took place, they couldn't produce any sort of an owner's manual or any kind of papers. In other words, they really didn't know what they had here. A lot of very unsafe things going on. I'll talk about, now obviously I can even mention that Wage and Hour said, there was a violation of hazardous order here, that this young man was driving it. OSHA doesn't address that particular, they just address sort of the general safety rules, and OSHA cited them with four violations, starting with the general duty clause, because this employer was really not paying attention to the health and safety of workers. The employer had no actual safety and health plan. There was nobody in that was responsible for any sort of safety and health in this group. The whole business of leaving the keys in the ignition. And then this wall was really, I mean, the ramp and the way the wall was, the whole thing was just not safe. And so for that, we were able to cite them with the general duty clause just because of carelessness and lack of attention. Then we could cite them under we have a standard for powered industrial trucks. So we cited them a couple times for that. This one, now this is kind of interesting because, first of all, he shouldn't have been driving it, but what we cited them for was lack of training on the forklift. So, because we could do that because the standard says that anyone who's anywhere near a forklift has to be properly trained in this. So that was that citation. And then also on the powered industrial trucks, it actually says in the standard that you're supposed to be careful about the position that you have the forks in so that you keep it steady, and you only raise it as far as necessary, because the more you raise it, the less steady it gets. And a third one on powered industrial trucks, and this one is reflecting the fact that they really didn't know what the condition of this forklift was. They didn't have any papers on it. They didn't have an owner's manual. They obviously were not keeping it up to the standards. So those were the four OSHA violations. And then we talk about sort of what the weak points were with the employer, and they were the ones I've sort of mentioned before. There was no comprehensive safety and health program, no person in charge of workplace safety and health, inadequate training and supervision. That's another thing. I'll pull out supervision as far as, well, I'll mention this later too, but if you have young workers on your work site, you really have to keep. You have to keep an eye on them, and you have to be sure they know what they're doing. So supervision, they were obviously weak in that. They didn't know what their equipment condition really was, and they left the keys in the ignition. And they didn't have they knew they had a 16-year-old there. They didn't have any policy that said people under 18 will not be driving this forklift. Young worker vulnerability. As Mary said, this is not at all an attempt to put any blame on this young man, but maybe the employer himself should have realized characteristics of young workers, that this was just a summer job. This boy didn't have much experience. He needed to be supervised. He had limited knowledge. He obviously hadn't done this kind of work before, and he had seen the adults driving the forklift, so he wanted to. And he didn't check it out with anyone, he just got in and did it, and he probably, for the first few minutes, thought that he was accomplishing something. So, not to blame him at all, though, on that. So what should this employer do? It's just sort of the reverse side of all the weaknesses. The employer needs a safety and health program. We, of course, are now in OSHA trying to reach out to all the 7 million employers, and so that saying that everyone needs a safety and health management program. And so this employer obviously would be a candidate for that. That's that I2P2 thing. That's what it's leading into. And they needed someone in charge of safety and health. They needed to assess the workplace for hazards and train the workers in recognizing the hazards and in prevention. They needed to keep an eye on their equipment and what condition it was in. And they needed to keep their forklift keys locked up with only the people that were allowed to drive it having access. And they needed to know these things about young workers. They needed to know more about the federal and state child labor laws. They needed to know that forklifts were prohibited. They could have provided much more young worker training in what the hazards were. He probably didn't know about hazards. Supervision, encouraging him to ask questions and don't assume that the young workers know things, because they might need all kinds of information and reinforcement. Obviously, all worker fatalities are tragic events, but it seems that young worker fatalities are more tragic than most, especially because of the age and because they are so preventable. A lot of times, they are related to direct violations of the wage and hour hazardous orders, and a lot of times, it's related to inadequate training and supervision. So that is my case, and you will hear more of the same sort of parallel case from Ernie Weiss. So do you have any questions right now?
Any questions?
You can ask some later.
Okay, thank you.